Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Well, let me turn to my guest, who is here with me this morning to talk about the Farmington Civic Center, one of my favorite places in town. Randy West is here. Good morning. Good to see you.
Nice to see you, Scott. It's been too long, pal.
It has been too long. I know. But you've been busy, and I've been busy, but this year has been crazy, and you are still working on stuff over there at the Civic Center, aren't you?
We are. We've been we're now looking at different ways of re-engaging some kind of programming.
But, yeah.
In the time that, as you know, the Civic Center is still shut.
Yeah. The building is closed.
The building is closed. But I will say, in the time that we've been closed, we've taken advantage of that to do some exciting things.
I heard you were cleaning out the basement over there.
We did. The Civic Center, from top to bottom,
right,
has been cleaned and sanitized
organized
the whole basement.
Yeah.
I think the guys found things they had no idea existed in the basement.
If we only knew.
And that's all organized and cleaned up.
Right.
And
I want to do a show over there, Al Capone's vault kind
that's
of thing,
right,
with a camera.
That's right.
Maybe we can do something.
And it probably would work out about as well for you as it did for Geraldo Rivera.
Geraldo, that's true.
But
anyway.
But we also were able to, we're just finishing some of the very last parts of our renovation that we're putting in a monitoring program that we used to have something like that in the Civic Center where the schedule is rolling so you can walk in the building and see what's in the building. And then beyond that, we're adding actual small monitors outside every room that says whether that room is available and if it's booked, what's in that room.
So nice. Okay.
That's a new part of moving into new technology.
I like it.
And
going
uptown. And
right.
That's happening right now. And then also we did a lot of work while we were closed at Sandstone. And when I first got here, Julie and Shauna took me up on my day I was here and showed me Sandstone, and I thought, wow, what an asset.
Right.
I mean, what a wonderful place to see anything or to do anything. But I also, when I got into kind of really looking at Sandstone, I felt it was an asset that could go either way. That it was an incredibly great one, but it needed some attention.
Right,
and
I see
so
what you're saying. Right.
I went back and said, and there was some money that was in a budget that was a grant and a gift budget for Sandstone, and I said, well, can we use this? And they said, yes. So I worked with our general services and then also my Civic Center staff while we were closed. We took the back buildings, which is the dressing rooms and the green room and that whole facility, completely reorganized it, got rid of all the things that had no value, and sorted the things that did, and cleaned it and painted it, and redid the bathrooms. And then we redid the pavilion,
mm-hmm,
and the pavilion has the back wall there. When it rained, sand would come up against the back wall and create dampness. And
oh,
so that was
you
coming.
Don't want that.
No. So what they'd been doing is just fixing the interior walls. Well, this time we got rid of the sand, we built a retaining wall, and then fixed the walls.
A more permanent
right
solution, which
right
is great. Yeah.
And
okay,
we totally brought the kitchen up to being, it is now being relicensed as a catering kitchen, so we'll be able to do full meals again if we want to there.
Nice.
We redid the top of the big
kind of the tarp area or the
canvasing
covering
area.
Yeah, that
all of that was fixed, and we've ordered new canvases for
okay
when they go back up. And then the actual the seating area had some loose bricks and had some loose pieces of rock, and all of that has been resecured. And then down in the playing area, there were three areas down there that sit on sand,
mm-hmm,
and they were made out of wood.
Right.
And the wood was beginning to rot.
Oh,
so we went and we replaced the wood on two of them with Retrex, which is the plastic wood, which will never rot.
Right.
And so, and we completely rebuilt the turntable, so the turntable works now.
Nice.
And
these are the staging areas that we see when we're watching a show.
Right.
For folks who aren't familiar with what we're talking about.
Right.
Yes.
So there's the stone seating area, and then it goes down into kind of a playing area, and then behind it is this terrific mountain, and then beyond that is New Mexico.
That's right.
And so what we want to do is make sure that Sandstone not only does a musical in the summer, but is an available venue for weddings or parties or concerts.
Sure.
And that's almost complete now. In the acting area in the spring, we're going to build kind of a casita that will actually be part of the set when we get to do Mamma Mia. But I've also designed something that is southwestern enough that it will just kind of look like something that blends in that environment and in that mountainside. So if you want to do a wedding and have something in the playing area that makes sense in that environment, it'll be there. And then where the last little bit is that we want to take LED lighting and put it into the mountainside with conduit, so it's a professional installation. So if you do something and it's at night, you can just flip a switch and glow the mountain behind you. So it's kind of a big...
I bet your lighting folks are excited about that.
Yes. Yeah. So it's kind of a big vision,
but
everybody got on board and we got it done almost entirely during the COVID thing.
Right.
And
there's so much you can do out there, and there's so much that's been done, but it's been portable, right?
Right.
Let's throw some lights on the mountain, but we got to then take them down.
Right.
And so this is a more permanent installation.
And what that means is if you're doing a one-off, if you're renting the space, it was a big hassle to make the mountain look cool.
Yeah.
And now you can just flip a switch, and it's something that anybody that's even on my staff that's just watching the space for you can say, do you want to glow the mountain? And they flip a switch. So that's the very last kind of aesthetic thing. But it's going to be safer, and I think it's something that our marketing people are moving toward putting together marketing material to let people know that it's actively available when we come out of COVID as an event site.
So very exciting.
So it'll be a more used piece of Farmington.
And it had been marketed like that before, too.
Right.
And you're just making it a better option and more features and these things. And for folks maybe who have never been kind of backstage at Sandstone, those buildings had probably been there and not changed too much since they were originally built. I don't know how long that's been. Someone would tell me. But it's been a while.
Quite a while.
They probably needed a little bit of
attention. A little loving care.
There you go.
And so we've done that. So we got that done. And then as the COVID thing was kind of going on, my powers that be came to a few of us and said, what can you do? I mean, think outside the box was literally their comment to me.
And that's been the big, and I keep interrupting.
Go ahead.
And I
apologize, Randy, go.
I keep thinking about, how do you manage a performing arts space in a time when we're supposed to be at home or be 6 feet from each other or not gather in groups more than 10? I mean, this is the life that you had over the summer, right?
Right. And so one of the first things, I had a variety of things that we were looking at to bring in, and some pretty exciting things. We were talking to American Ballet Theater about coming in and performing, and then doing a workshop here for young dancers in Farmington. And so some of the groups that I was just talking to, trying to perform live, they're trying to figure out, what is their life like in COVID days?
Right.
And so I started getting some interest in, were we interested in doing virtual, presenting virtual performances? And a friend of mine, Lee Lesek, who's from New York, Lee is actually a Broadway baritone himself, but he represents Broadway talent. And last year we were doing the Intimate Broadway series here, and we were just about to present Liz Calloway, who I still hope to get to Farmington, because she's an international, worldwide talent.
Sure.
But he represents Megan Hilty, who people know maybe from Smash. And he contacted me and said, when things open up in your Intimate Broadway series, are you interested in Megan Hilty? And I said, I'd love to know what that would involve. So we were talking about that when all of a sudden he does a concert, which he calls On Broadway, and he takes four Broadway performers that are all, they're not headliners. I mean, Megan Hilty would be above the title of a Broadway show.
Right.
But these people would all be leads or supporting leads in a Broadway show, but they wouldn't necessarily be above the title. Mm-hmm. But the names of the shows would be like Hamilton, Aladdin, Mary Poppins. I mean,
famous
shows.
Heard of those.
Yeah.
People,
and
audience.
So yeah. He takes people that have two or three credits that are known credits, puts them together with a four-piece band, and then sends them out to do, and they're shorter tours than people that go out for a year. These Broadway people go out for maybe 2 or 3 months.
Okay.
And so he had asked me if he did a Southwest tour, were we interested? And I said, keep me in the loop.
Right.
And then he booked a weekend in Indiana, because I guess Indiana is a little ahead of us opening up, and they're already at the 25% of house socially distanced. And I think when we open up with the Civic Center, we'll probably get something like that. And so if you've got 25% of house socially distanced, we're a 1,200-seat theater, so that would be 250 seats if we sold them out. Mm-hmm. And so you can't sell a concert for the same amount of money that you could for 1,200 seats for 250. So what the people that are trying to come here in the future and perform, they're offering you a streaming ticket. So that in the future, I think you'll be able to buy a seat in the theater for, say, a price, a $28 price or whatever it is,
right,
and buy a streaming ticket to watch it live at home on a smart TV or a computer or any device that does streaming.
Sure.
Say for an $8 to $12 ticket.
Okay.
And so that allows you to watch it safe and watch it live and still be a part of it.
And it increases your potential audience.
Yes. So it allows us to sell more than 250 tickets for the people live.
Right.
And so Lee was doing this concert in Indiana, and he was setting up to do a lot streaming ticket. Mm-hmm. And he called me and said, do you want to offer my streaming ticket to Farmington? And I said, maybe. I said, if you're willing to have your performers do a direct-to-camera to say how much they're looking forward to performing for my audience in Farmington, so that Farmington knows they really are performing for us, that it isn't just some recorded concert that I bought.
Right.
And if they will, during the course of the concert, a few times acknowledge Farmington, I mean, that allows me to find a little bit of a marketing hook to make sure that people know that it really is something special for us. So we tried that, and it pulled okay numbers, not great, but okay. But the people that saw it, we did a questionnaire, and they liked it. They felt the performers were terrific, and then it was a well done event. So that was in my, when I was pitching it, that was my proof of premise.
Right.
You know, put your toe in the water.
Right.
And say, you know, did people think it was cool?
If you build it, even virtually, will they come?
Will they come?
Yeah.
And so we tried that. And then along with that, last year, you know, we did in our family and kids season, we had Artrageous.
That's right.
On a Sunday afternoon, we promoted it here.
We did.
And Artrageous is a performance group that does music, both vocal and instrumental music, dancing. They also do a lot of things that build young skills in young people, like learning to move to music so you coordinate the rhythm of the music with the movement of your body.
Okay.
And they had the whole house at the Civic Center up and moving, parents, kids, everybody, easily. And I had three middle school teachers at intermission come up to me and say, oh my gosh, this is so exciting that they make the arts just alive. And I said, yes. And then in the middle of all that, they're painting
While portraits. We're doing the rest of this stuff.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
They're literally painting big portraits of famous people.
On stage.
On stage, right, in front of you.
Yeah.
And so it was a really exciting concert. And then I found out during that day that they're only about 2.5 hours away from us in New Mexico. And they are trapped in COVID times, too.
They're not touring or doing anything, right?
So we started talking. And so they've put together a digital studio, and they're going to start offering virtual classes and virtual performances. And I think we're going to get involved in that in the future.
Okay.
And I've just spoken to the local Kiwanians, and I think they might get involved with the Civic Center as a community group and find a way to sell these tickets and then make the tickets available to local young people, either free or almost free, in a way to engage in the arts young people. So
nice.
That's another virtual thing that we're where they Artrageous can do so much. We're really trying to figure out what is best for Farmington.
Right.
And then once we figure that out and what age group that would be for and what they would be doing, and then it might be the kind of situation where we have kits available at the Civic Center with glow sticks or whatever they want, and then we send them either to the schools to distribute or parents can come pick them up so that there's active activity at home
during
the concert.
Okay.
And
all right.
And so we're looking, and then once we get past having to be virtual, Artrageous would like Farmington to be their home base, so that they would come here and get access to our young people and our families to try out new material to see how it works and get input before they put together the show that they take on the road. So I think the idea of us having, when we're defining ourselves culturally, to kind of have Artrageous in that mix is an exciting thing for us.
No kidding. Very exciting.
So that was the next on virtual thing.
Right.
And then going the next level, because part of what was maybe missing from On Broadway was any direct Farmington input.
Right.
I mean, that they were performing for us, but nobody was in Farmington.
Right.
And so in the thinking outside the box premise, I said, well, I could explore trying to do a virtual musical. And they said, well, why don't you figure out what that would look like and come back to us? So I did. And so when I put this together, we were at a gathering number of 10. And of course, now we're back to 5.
Right.
And we have to get back to at least 10 for me to be able to do this. So this is currently floating out there, and I found a way to do it at 10.
Okay.
And we're hoping by the end of December, beginning of January, we'll be back to 10.
As our numbers calm down, and we can reopen a little bit and get back to that 10.
Because we were at 10 for quite a while.
Right.
And so I was kind of thinking that was a constant.
Right.
That was, so
well, there's your first,
problem. When you assume.
Yes, sir.
So it
but
was Felix
right.
Unger, and I assumed. And so now we're back to 5.
Right.
So,
but you had some, I guess you had some auditions, and you've got your crew kind of ready to go, and they're just kind of on standby until things change.
Right. So what we're doing is we're doing, it's a brand new musical. It's called Now, Hear, This, and here is spelled H-E-R-E because it means here, not here.
All right.
It's not listen. It's now here in the presence, this. And it's about everything and nothing. And it's by the same people. If you're a musical theater person, you probably know Title of Show because it's a very popular small musical. And it's by the same people that created Title of Show. And this is their next musical. And they originally created it for 4 people, which is what Title of Show is. And so they did this musical with 4 people in a workshop to work it all out. And then they did a summer stock of it with them, the 4 people performing. And then they took it to the Orange County Performing Arts Center, which is a performing arts school in Orange County, California. And they were going to, rather than doing it with 4 people, I think they were doing it with 25 or 30 high school, really talented high school kids.
Okay.
And so they were breaking the show up in a really interesting way. And they were in the middle of getting ready to perform this live when COVID hit. And so they sat back for 2 weeks and waited to see what this meant. And when it looked like it meant that these kids weren't going to be able to perform it in their senior year, they went back to the school and said, what if we created a virtual version of this? And the school said, go. So they created a version of Now Hear This that was done at the Orange County Performing Arts School with high school kids. And then as this kept dragging on, they went ahead and through Concord Theatricals licensed it. And it's licensed as Now Hear This the flexible version.
Aha, okay,
because
right.
You can do it with four,
yes,
or you could do it with 40.
I see.
There is a through line for four people, but literally on almost every page of the script, it says this person or anyone you want.
Oh, there you go.
And okay. So what we decided to do, and I had to apply specifically for this license, was to do it with a professional cast of six and a youth ensemble of 8 to 12. And what we have right now is 10, and it's 10 local, very talented young people from middle school to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And what we intend to do is keep them socially distanced. We'll actually shoot the whole show socially distanced and then edit it so it doesn't seem socially distanced.
I see. Okay.
And so if we get to do it.
Right.
Waiting
on that.
Waiting for the
numbers,
gathering
right?
number to
yes,
go up.
Yes.
Sheldon Pickering, who's well known locally, and who is going to musically direct this for me, and then Margaret Clare, who is at least very well known to me,
yes,
is going to vocally coach this.
Nice.
And it has a 4-piece band, and Robert Beck is doing the hiring of the band for me. So we will record the band, and then we will record the professionals on a set. In a socially distanced fashion, and then separate from the professionals in different sessions, we'll record the local talent, and then we'll edit everybody together.
Okay.
And so it's not just me. Brent Garcia from Four Corners Film is helping me on this. Heath Cates from Cates Academy is working on this. The San Juan College Film and Television people are helping us on this.
Excellent.
Russell Hodge, who owns Strings and Things, is audio engineering this through Strings and Things. And we're going to be doing actually audio tracking and sweetening and overdubbing to create a really thick, wonderful, luscious musical sound, and then do a combination of shooting out material in the theater, and then taking a very small run and gun video crew with the professional actors one at a time, and shooting some B-roll of them in practical situations. So if he's talking in a monologue about being in his room, we'll ghost in a B-roll shot or an illustrative shot of him laying in the room like this. So the way we're opening it up is a little bit is adding practical shooting around the studio shooting.
Right.
So the idea is that we do all of this in 2.5 weeks. I mean, from starting to learn the show to shooting the show to editing the show, and then basically the professional talent flies home, and then we have a dark day, and then starting on, and if we can do this on January 14th, for 4 days, we'll show the show on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then the following weekend, we'll show the musical Thursday through Sunday, and what we'll do is at 7 o'clock, we'll do a live Zoom with me and the cast and anybody connected with it that wants to be on the Zoom, talking about what it was like to create a virtual musical. And then the musical will roll in. It's a 90-minute musical, and it will just play in the middle. And then afterwards, we'll do a live Q&A with the cast again.
Nice.
So if anybody wants to type in questions or anything for us, we'll answer those questions. So it'll have a live element before and after, but the middle of it will be shot and posted so that we can do the whole thing socially distanced and protect everybody.
Right. Well, that sounds exciting. And that's, you're planning, fingers crossed, for January.
That's correct.
Is what you're saying. And I would think that that has some unique challenges and also advantages when you mentioned kind of the, I call it a dream sequence, but kind of the flashback or whatever to be able to do that with video that you can't really do easily on a live stage performance.
Right.
And then, but then you've got actors maybe trying to interact with each other who aren't really interacting with each other. Recording their role,
right,
and that's a challenge.
Well, the show itself is it's about everything from the Big Bang Theory to now.
Okay,
and so it has a universal, you know, how could this happen, And that's everything from a planet being the right distance from the sun to developing life to a big rock hitting the planet and killing the dinosaurs. I mean, to your mom and your dad getting together and making you. So it comes from this thing all the way down
that's
to
very specific.
And then it and then the four people that wrote it, there are parts like one of the female lines at one point is the female under pressure from her father to become an attorney. And she really didn't want to be an attorney. And so there are things that come right down to life choices for young people. There's a very sweet sequence about losing a grandparent. And so it's about life and death. And so it's these big things. But so what we're going to do is we're going to build a little platform set and behind it put our psych with, in the end of the remodel, we finally got LED lights.
Hey,
so we have computer-controlled lighting.
All right.
So we're going to be doing this moving lighting environment behind the actors that makes it ethereal and kind of in no space, that's kind of floating in wherever. So that's the general environment in which I can put everybody.
That's right.
And you'll never know how close they are to anybody because there's no reference.
Sneaky.
You know?
Yeah.
And then Ghost in, and then Sophie Castillo, who is our stage manager, she and her husband Ryan are terrific artists, and they're going to be making new art that goes between each drawn creative caricature kind of art between each segment. So it's going to be very arty.
Right.
And I think that, and I know you know this, but I have a big television background as well as a theater background. So I can talk the talk with the video people in town. And so I'm going to actually direct both the video and the theater portions. Brent Garcia, we're hoping, is going to be the director of photography, and Heath is going to supervise the editing. And so it's a lot of different components all getting together, and all of us literally testing this premise to see if we all do this and hopefully do it well, will we create something that will excite Farmington and Farmington will get behind.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, I know, I think, if I'm any judge, we're looking forward to it.
Thank
because
you.
We've missed live theater, we've missed performances, and it's been one of those just crazy things that you can only do what you could do and do it safely.
And those of you that have followed Four Corners Musical Theater in the past, Natalie Sorvava is coming back, who played the lead in Musical and Musicals and Disaster. Melissa, who played Chevers, who played the lead at all the Sandstone musicals, who was also a lead in Disaster, she's coming back. Margaret Clare is playing one of the roles. And we also, Gareth West, who it was going to be Paul, but Paul couldn't work out his schedule, so I happened to have somebody else that could take that slot, and it had to be a local slot that could be a baritone bass. So I happen to have one of those in my family.
There you go.
So Gareth's going to help there. So it's a really nice combination of professional talent and local and a lot of some regional talent.
Very exciting. Yeah. Well, Randy, we're almost out of time. Just a couple of minutes. And so just keep tabs on the Facebook page at the Civic Center. Is that the best way to see
and,
what you're doing?
Our website is fmtn.org/Civic Center. I'm also, my little crew and I are still at the Civic Center, so you can always call me. I'm at 505-599-1150.
Okay.
509-1150. 505-599-1150.
That's you, yeah.
And then my email is, like everybody in the city, it's rwest, I'm Randy West, so it's rwest@fmtn.org. And if you want to just talk to me about how you feel about virtual programming, if there's a particular kind of virtual programming, if family and kids stuff is more exciting to you, then we are moving as soon as we can open to try to book some country music. I always hear country music.
That's a big
deal.
We're
that's moving
right.
to try to do that as
good.
Soon as we can find a way to do it.
That'll sell out.
But I always want input from people in town.
Good.
And we want you to feel that the Civic Center is your Civic Center, and as soon as we can get open again, we'll be available for meetings and parties and events. We want you to come in as much as you did before and use our building.
Well, and it's been beautifully remodeled, I must say, from the grounds, from the outside to the inside. I mean, I don't think folks would recognize it if they haven't been there in a couple of years. So
that's right.
It's a great asset to the city to be
Thank
able
you.
to to provide that to the community. So we're looking forward to it when we reopen, and we're thinking positive. But in the meantime, some of these virtual things, and this may be the first of maybe some more in the spring. Yeah, who knows?
If this works, we'll try another one.
Okay.
Okay.
Randy, it's great to see you.
Thanks
for coming in. Good luck with everything.
Always nice seeing you, Scott.
Thank you very much. That's Randy West, everyone. He is the director of the Farmington Civic Center, my guest here on KSJE. Back with more in just a moment. The time right now is 8:43. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.